Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of December 23rd, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very good, D.R. Very good. Good to have you here, as always. So, D.R., this was an interesting week in climate stuff. I think that we've talked in the past about the advice from people who know how to deal with autocrats. The first thing is to take the autocrat at his word, to believe what he says he's going to do. And it turns out that Mr. Trump Putin wants to very much expand oil exploitation. And apparently Mr. Obama, the current and sitting and continues to be president, takes him at his word and has consequently, after a long time of negotiating, decided to negotiating with Canada to put much of the Atlantic seaboard and the Arctic Ocean off limits to oil drilling. Is that true? What can you tell
Yes.
me about that?
And it's ironic considering Donald Trump's past involvement with pro wrestling to see the Obama Justin Trudeau tag team going for the climate championship, if you will. Obama, in a joint announcement with Trudeau, Obama announced that 120 million acres of land in the Atlantic and Arctic oceans are now off limits to drilling. It includes, according to Rolling Stone, underwater canyons along the Atlantic stretching from Massachusetts to Virginia and virtually all of the United States Arctic, including the entire United States Chukchi Sea and all but 2% of the U.S. Beaufort Sea. And Trudeau announced that all Arctic Canadian waters are also off limits to drilling as well. So it's extraordinary announcement, and really came as a shock if you go back to a year or so ago, the so-called kayaktivists who were protesting the potential drilling in the Chukchi Sea and how Shell eventually backed down on that. Now they may be permanently backing down as a result of this decision.
And I think that Obama floated a proposal, so to speak, floated is the right word, drilling off the Atlantic seaboard and got a lot of pushback from coastal states up and down the eastern seaboard, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So I think that the grassroots pushback was one thing, and one of the more interesting aspects of this whole thing, of course, President Trump Putin is going to be in there on the 20th. It's not that far away. But Obama used a law from 1953, a little-known law that at least the proponents of this claim is not subject to change by a subsequent president. Is that? And at least if it is subject to change by a subsequent president, it's going to be fraught with years of legal cases going back and forth about whether or not another president can change anything. Right? Did you see that?
That's correct. Rolling Stone noted that Obama exercised a right granted under the 1953 Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act. And President Eisenhower, President Nixon, President George H.W. Bush, President Clinton, and now Obama have all used this act and the powers they implemented to protect land and to protect water remain intact. There is expected, as you know, to be tremendous litigation regarding this, but it has also been pointed out that President-elect Trump can't simply go in and overturn this decision unless Congress amends the 1953 law. And the issue there is that the Senate, there are simply not enough dinosaurs, to use our friend Betsy Rosenberg's term, in the Senate for this to pass the Senate and make it onto President-elect Trump's desk. So this may, in fact, be a permanent ban on drilling in the Arctic and the Atlantic.
That's great. I mean, good on Obama for, I mean, a lot of people accuse him of having checked out, but it seems that he is pushing various things that he can do, given the ugliness of what the other guy is talking about. I guess the other thing that just came up within the last couple of days is that the Obama administration has promulgated regulations to basically on the Clean Water Act that requires coal producers to return the area that they dig in to the original condition. Which, of course, is kind of hard when you're strip mining the top of a mountain, right? But and that's going to really put a problem in the way of future coal mining, right?
Mm-hmm. And also the Washington Post also notes that this is not necessarily the sort of regulation that can be easily wiped out by President-elect Trump. And also, you know, there will also be, you know, tremendous litigation surrounding it. But it also goes to show you that despite the sort of public diplomacy that Obama has exhibited towards Trump, Obama knows that Trump basically wants to destroy every last vestige of his climate legacy, and Obama is trying to protect it as much as possible and put it beyond Trump's reach. Imagine you can think of the great editorial cartoon showing Trump's, you know, stubby little fingers trying to reach to grab Obama's climate legacy, and it remains just beyond his reach.
Yeah. I mean, I think... And I guess, let me bring in one other topic. So just recently, President Obama has, so here's the context of the point that I want to make with this next little tidbit, is that all issues are now linked together, in my mind anyway. Climate issues are linked with issues of all kinds of other things, because opposing the Trumpian agenda has to be in some measure hermetic, right? Everything, you have to stop everything because he's just such an abomination. It turns out the president today canceled something I think the acronym is NSEER, which is a National Registry of Muslims that was created just after 9/11. And that Mr. Obama has basically, so I heard someone on the radio talking about the fact that this database, which has been in existence now for 15 years, although Obama stopped using it in 2009 or something, that this database was essentially a completed building standing there waiting for the haters in the Trump administration to show up. And that Obama today basically bulldozed the building, said it was no longer effective today, it's done. And so there's no easy way for Trump to make a Muslim registry, and that there probably will, you know, there may well be efforts, but the beautiful thing is that the efforts to make a Muslim, I mean, horrific, I can't even believe I'm saying it, but anything that they want to do there has to now undergo public scrutiny and public commentary, and you know, this is a chance for every climate hawk to get in there and stop this, to completely refuse the moral acceptability of such a thing. So I just wanted to say that this is, again, Obama taking action in the face of the Trumpian ugliness, but it's part and parcel of the requirement that we all speak up on a variety of issues, right, to stop what this guy's trying to do. Have you seen any? I mean, what's your commentary on that one, Dio?
Yes, I was going to say, isn't it interesting that in all the talk of resistance to Trump's agenda, the strongest resistance appears to be coming from the outgoing president himself?
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, let me just, so there's so many things running around in my head nowadays, right, given the arrival of this guy. But let me just say the following thing, to your point. Obama is now sort of publicly joining the fight to stymie Trump's ugliness. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not the Democrats should play ball with Trump, that if there's an infrastructure bill or something, that should they work with him if he's doing something reasonable. It seems to me that the Democrats can and should and ought to preempt all that kind of talk by insisting that the conflicts of interest made the direct payment to the president, which is a violation of the what's called the emolument clause of the Constitution, which forbids the president to take any money from a foreign government. Clear stated, full stop. You can't do that, right? As soon as he swears the oath of allegiance, he will be in violation of that oath, because he will be taking money for the hotel and from the Saudis and yada, yada, yada. And the Democrats should just say there's no piece of legislation that they will let move until Trump cures the conflict of interest thing, and just everything stops, and you insist that nothing else can happen, because it's, to my mind, whether or not our president is being paid by a Russian oil oligarch that we don't know about, if that's a possibility, then there's no legitimacy and there's no reason to talk about anything else. Am I crazy? Am I cuckoo?
No, no. So this is a great idea. Senator Elizabeth Warren is one of the senators leading this charge to basically, you know, get Trump to sort of fess up to his conflicts of interests, and not run afoul of the emoluments clause. One of the other senators who is pushing this is Senator Jeff Merkley, who is also a very famous climate hawk in the United States Senate. So I think there's a general recognition that, you know, the ethical lapses of President-elect Trump are going to be a serious problem going forward. Say nothing of the ethical lapses of some of his cabinet nominees, the most prominent of which is obviously Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson, who has all sorts of notorious ties, domestic and international.
And absolutely. So without going too far down the rabbit hole of the constitutional law, let me just tell you what I'll try and put the emolument clause into the blog associated with this. But emolument is basically an old-fashioned sort of 1780s word for salary, right? If you're getting paid for doing something, that's not a good thing for the president. That's an emolument. Anyway, so, DR, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Obama's doing the right thing, trying to face the fact that the ugliness of what Trump's trying to do is stop it. There's a different path of resistance going on, which is much more long-term and not necessarily aimed at Trump, but it's going to end up in his lap, so to speak, when he becomes president. And that's a question of legal cases that revolve around something called the public trust doctrine. And we'll come back to, we talked about that in the past, we'll talk about it again in a second, but tell me, DR, what happened out in the state of Washington this past week?
Well, a state judge in Washington, Hollis Hill, basically allowed to move forward a lawsuit that a number of young plaintiffs have filed against specifically Washington State Governor Jay Inslee. Basically, the thrust of the lawsuit is that he is not adhering to the latest available science in terms of, you know, formulating the strongest regulations possible to reduce carbon pollution, that he's running afoul of the concept of that the atmosphere is a public trust. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the outcome of this trial is. I've myself expressed skepticism about you know, whether or not these sorts of lawsuits can ultimately be successful. But it will be interesting. You know, this is obviously occurring in conjunction with the Oregon lawsuit. The Oregon federal lawsuit, also based against the federal government, against the Obama administration.
So that's the second. So there are two of these cases, one in the state of Washington and one in the state of Oregon, right?
Yes. The Washington state case is a state-level case. The Oregon case is a federal case. There has been some speculation that I've seen in some social media quarters as to whether or not, with regard to the federal case in Oregon, President Obama can somehow preemptively settle that case and sort of issue some kind of, I guess, executive order on the way out, mandating certain forms of carbon reduction. But I that doesn't seem clear legal, at least to me. I am not a lawyer, but it's hard to see where that goes. But with regard going back to the Washington State case, it will be interesting to see what the ultimate outcome is and how Governor Inslee responds to it. Obviously, Governor Inslee is quite the climate hawk, but he has had tremendous trouble trying to get the legislature to sort of take action. The legislature sort of seems to be treating him on this issue the same way the legislature in North Carolina is treating their new governor. So it will be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
And just so that everyone is on the same page, the rationale, the legal rationale for these cases is something called the public trust. And the public trust is an old idea that, to my understanding, dates back to the time when the public waterways, like the Mississippi River, were considered something that the public held in common, and it was critical to everyone, and the government had a responsibility to make sure that the Mississippi River was navigable, basically, and waterways were navigable. So you get the Corps of Engineers and yada, yada, yada. And there's this whole set of law around the fact that the government has a responsibility to do this. These mm-hmm. new cases are brought by young children, kids in high school, who are saying that the public trust doctrine requires the, in order to preserve their future, they are being harmed by the fact that we're not using the latest scientific data, and that the public trust, the air is a public trust, and therefore must be, the courts have to force the executive branches to use the best possible science. It's just mm-hmm. a different tack, and I know you've talked about how it may be shaky legal ground, or it might have sort of lashback or mm-hmm. flashback that they don't expect, but those two cases are still out there marching along, right?
Exactly, and with regard to my own issues, I think the concept in theory is fine. My criticism has been on the grounds of that I think the plaintiffs, looking at the dim executive level, obviously from a national perspective, the prospects of executive level action or legislative action being dim. My sense is that the plaintiffs want to figure out some way to get the judiciary to sort of mandate a sort of keep it in the ground approach. And while I would love to see the judiciary do that, I'm highly skeptical that the judiciary will in fact do that, because as we know in both law and as well as in politics, more things are considered other than simply the science. Were the science simply considered, then you can guarantee the judiciary would in fact move to keep fossil fuel in the ground. But you know, and I know that, again, in politics as well as in law, other factors are considered instead of simply the science.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. There's your weekly legal lesson from Professor Tucker and Professor McIntyre, who mm-hmm. Basically with the, I feel like Groucho Marx with my little mortarboard on, talking about law things, because I don't really know much about it, but it is an interesting thing. So the take-home lesson of the week is that Obama is facing the fact he's trying to stop Trump in as many ways as he can, and there are good environmental things that Obama is pushing. And then there's this other fifth column coming through the courts that we can hope will bear fruition in the future. Right, Dion?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So anyway, we'll put up links to what we talked about, especially that pesky emolument clause. We'll put that up on the blog. It'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. Please go there, share us, leave a comment. You can find us on Facebook. It'll be at /massclimateaction. There'll be a link in there somewhere that'll bring you to the blog, that'll bring you to SoundCloud, and you can listen to us. Or you can go to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Podbean or Overcast. We're all over the place. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. Please subscribe. Please rate us. Give us a review. It improves our visibility. So, DR, we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our action, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must fight the Trumpian agenda, not let it be normalized, and stop this un-American program from going forward. And as part of that, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So, DR, mm-hmm. thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great holiday. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.